The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. And once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back with a little thought experiment for you this morning, a little something different. Okay, try if you can to imagine the worst atrocity in all of history. What do you think was the greatest crime that's ever been committed? Maybe you think of the Holocaust in World War II. Or perhaps you think of a school shooting or September 11th. Maybe you think of abortion. And you know, you wouldn't be too far off in thinking that. But would it surprise you to learn that, as a point of fact, the greatest crime that was ever committed in all of history happened on Calvary? The murder of God. Theologically speaking, no greater crime is even possible. God enters into his world in the person of Jesus Christ. The author enters into the story that he wrote. The creator enters into his own creation. And what do we do? What do we do? Do we listen to him? Do we learn from him? Do we love him? Do we praise him? Do we thank him? No, we killed him. And that was the greatest crime that can possibly be committed. And it's even more mysterious when you stop and ask yourself, why did God allow it to happen? And consider, God allowed it to happen. It was one of my favorite points that I like to make, is that you can't nail God to a cross unless he lets you do it. Why did God allow it to happen? Well, of the millions and billions of reasons why God allows anything, today let's focus on just one, okay? Today let's focus on just one. Namely, that God draws good out of evil. That God shows his greatness when things are at their very, very worst. Or, as St. Paul put it, where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. That was a line from your first reading, St. Paul's letter to the Romans. And we need to pray about that a lot these days. Where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. God loves to show his power when it appears that all is hopeless. He did it all down through the Old Testament. Plenty of examples of this. Moses, for example. When did God deliver his people from slavery in Egypt? When things were at their worst. And not only that, but he waited until Moses and all of his chosen people had nowhere else to turn. Right? Their backs to the Red Sea, Pharaoh's army racing toward him, a cloud of dust. And that's when God decided to open up the Red Sea like a wall to their right and to their left. Waited until things got into their very worst. Quite a dramatist God can be. Another example that I love, Elijah. Remember the story of Elijah and the priests of Baal? And Elijah turns to them and he says, "God's going to accept my holocaust. He's going to make fire fall down from heaven. He's going to burn my burnt offering. But before Elijah calls down fire from heaven to burn up his burnt offering, he first douses his burnt offering in water. Not once, but three times. He even digs a ditch to catch all the water. Why? Because God loves to act when things appear hopeless. Happens all throughout the New Testament, down through the history of the church. Doesn't God love to make the greatest saints out of the worst sinners? Mary Magdalene, St. Paul, the good thief on the cross, first guy to walk into heaven is a thief, right? Dies right next to Jesus. And it's very, very important that we remember this, that where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. It's very important that we pray about that because we're living in very bad times. Are they the worst times that have ever been? I don't know. But I think if you wanted to argue the point, you could argue the point. And good people are giving up hope. And people find it easier to be discouraged and to be cynical than to continue to believe. And that's why I want to emphasize this point today. Where sin abounds, grace all the more abounds. Listen to this. Here's something I found. It's from Archbishop Chaput, a retired archbishop from Philadelphia. Listen to this. He says, imagine a country advanced in the arts and the sciences. A country with a complex economy and a strong military. A country that includes many religions within its borders, although religion tends to be treated as a private affair or a mere formality. This country, however, has big problems. Fertility rates are below replacement levels. They fill more coffins than cradles. There aren't enough children to replace the adult population. Government offers incentives to encourage people to have more children, but nothing works. Promiscuity is common and accepted. So too are homosexuality, bisexuality, and prostitution. Birth control and abortion are legal, widely practiced, and praised by leading intellectuals. Every now and then, a lawmaker introduces a measure to promote marriage, arguing that the future of the country depends on it, but these measures typically go nowhere. And then he asks, what country am I talking about? And just as you're about to say my country, he says, with factual accuracy, I have just described to you the Roman Empire in the time of Jesus Christ, right? Where sin abounds, and Paul wrote it to those people. Grace all the more abounds, and he could have said the same thing to us. If you were with Moses, with your back to the Red Sea, you probably would have said this is the end, right? If you were with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, he's pouring water on his sacrifice just before he says he's going to burn it with fire, you would have said he's crazy. If you could stand on the road to Calvary on Good Friday and watch Jesus be killed by his enemies, you'd probably say this is the end of all hope. You'd be wrong, of course. And you know better sitting where you are right now. My very simple point is to you that you should know better as well than to ever give up on God. You don't have to know what God is up to know that he's up to something great. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to believe that deeply. St. Anthony Mary Claret, pray for us.